Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Giving too much away.
Yeah.
And he opens the door and he's like, yes, yes. And he's like, oh, we've got some complaints about some noise. He's like, I'm sorry, I was rehearsing for a play. I'm done now.
He should at least give you complimentary tickets for the performance if it happens while you're still in town this week.
Not to make light of a very sad situation, but I almost pulled a Carmelo.
Wow.
And I think that if I would have played that video, the jury would have been like, not guilty.
if I was on the jury, I would have said, yep, not guilty.
Could you reach $1 million with a GoFundMe after killing a choir boy?
Oh, no. 100%.
No human should have to sit through that.
Totally understandable. That guy deserves to die.
The hotel experiences are the absolute worst.
Sometimes.
They can be bad. One. Yeah. That was just so crazy. I could not believe this was happening to me.
Airports are the worst, along with public transportation. We talk about it. We chronicle it. We document it in the news with SEPTA. Casinos are bad. And I love casinos. I love the gamble. Casinos are a place where I'm not worried about COVID. With a mask? Like, I would never wear a mask for COVID. I want to kind of wear a mask in a casino.
It's gross.
It's just gross, right? The chips.
Ciggies.
It's cigarettes. It's just disgusting, right?
Yeah. The oxygen tanks and people. The degeneracy is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my biggest issue with hotels.
Yeah.
It's not the temperature. It's not the air conditioning. It's the lighting. Every hotel I go to, I can never figure out how to operate the different lights in the rooms. Mm-hmm. They're getting too complex.
Yeah.
Right?
There are a lot of lights. Do you like dimmer lights or brighter lights?
Dimmer.
Same.
Yeah. Or natural light through a window.
Oh, big on natural light.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're not getting that in a hotel, but that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Just please don't sing show tunes at 9 p.m.
Right.
Because people have to wake up at 4.
Right.
So.
Or Anna will do this to you.
My foot's going to be so far up your it's going to dangle out your damn nose.
Yeah.
You know, I texted my boyfriend and I go, if you were here, this would have gotten confrontational.
Because
I would have. But I would have been confrontational, but
you're on a business road trip, so you got to be
I don't care about that. It was more so just this guy knows, you know, quote unquote, where I live. And here's the thing: if he's doing that, he's clearly not of sound mind.
True.
So people are crazy,
right?
And I don't want him to know where I'm staying.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad you didn't
resort
to violence because Phil would have had to do the news this morning.
Yeah, I would have been in the news this morning.
Today, Anna Hummel arrested.
Local Florida woman.
First degree assault.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot of good things coming up for you on the show today. A big take recapping all of the big stories from yesterday, four of which were on the positive front, one of which, I don't know if it's necessarily on the negative front, but we've got a conflict within the Trump administration between two individuals under the subject of tariffs. We'll get to that. A lot of free speech today. A very interesting story in Michigan with citizens versus the government when it pertains to salaries and criticisms of the government itself on social media, things like that. We'll get to that coming up. Also, China mocking the United States with artificial intelligence and fatsos over tariffs and manufacturing.
By the way, China, dead on with this. They're dead on with
it. They control pretty well.
I know. It's stereotypical, but sometimes stereotypes are there for a reason.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep. We'll get to that. Plus, Christy Gnome. Hey, lady, with all due respect.
Yeah. We need somebody.
Watch where you're pointing that thing.
Brian or somebody from King Shooters needs to call in and look at this video or look at this photo and say, nope.
Yep.
No bueno.
Yep, I agree. We'll have to defer also to our military and police listeners that know a thing or two about this. You might have seen it on social media. We'll highlight that coming up in a little bit. Bruno at 7:30, Cut Sheet at 7:45. Right now, let's get to the news. Off of 2 hours of sleep and hotel hell, here's Anna Hummel.
We're here. All right, today is April 9th, 2025, and it's currently 34 degrees out. Today's weather is sunny to partly cloudy and cool, and a soaking rain expected late in the week with
shocking.
A high of 51.
Anna, this is all your fault.
Dude, like, I know. Rain. My friend told me that.
It was 36 degrees this morning. Come on.
Yeah, I met a friend for dinner last night. She's like, you know, it's so crazy because last week it was great.
Yes.
And when you leave next week, it's going to be like the 60s and 70s. So she's like, I just don't get it. I'm like, I'm the common denominator. Sorry. Tonight, increasing cloudiness with a low of 37 degrees. Driver escapes after a massive tree falls onto SUV in Chester County. I think we have a video for this, right?
We do, yeah. This is K6, Phil, but go ahead. You want to set it up, and then we'll
A near-death experience was caught on camera outside of a gas station in Chester County, Pennsylvania. It happened on Monday morning when a massive tree crashing down on top of a car on, is it Lenape Road in Kennett Square?
Lenape,
thank you. Amazingly, the woman was able to open her door and get out of the car. She then runs to the driver in front of her, seemingly dazed and clutching her head.
Yeah, let's play this, Phil. This is K6. I do believe you have audio, yes. So she's kind of come to a stop.
Oh my God!
She almost died.
Yeah, for sure.
That's Trump turning his head at the last second with a bullet.
One inch. If that would have fallen 1 inch.
Look at the airbag. Look at the airbag. Yeah. She just comes running out. Here it goes again.
Totally fine.
Whoa, man.
Now, if she had kids in the back seat, they would have perished.
And that was Monday.
Yes.
Because we had those really high winds on Monday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we've seen this. This is almost a little reminiscent of on a 76. We call it the Schuylkill, or the death trap from hell. We've seen a lot of debris in the last year or two falling off of the side on these little elevated slopes of land. God. I mean, this lady.
Yeah, youtube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this video. But yeah, boy, this is oof. That's my biggest fear, driving next to a lot of these trees.
That's your biggest fear?
Well,
that's my biggest fear.
I mean, yeah.
Lucky she is to be alive, doesn't she have to go play the lottery now? Doesn't she have to take a risk in life?
That's what Carl, I think, just said that on the YouTube chat.
Yeah.
So, great minds.
Go to the casino.
Right. Put 500 on
Nick's
red.
Nick's favorite place.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, oof.
Yeah, not good.
Wow.
Look, trees are wonderful. They provide things for
oxygen.
Nature. Yeah, and we need them. But, trim your trees.
Yeah.
If they're old, cut them down and plant new ones.
Right.
Honestly.
Or if you're a golf course, just get rid of them completely.
I know that's not environmentally correct to say, but, I don't
care. We're saving lives by killing trees.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thank you, Anna.
Vandals destroy art installation at Singing Fountain in South Philly. A community is heartbroken after vandals destroyed a popular art installation in South Philly. Surveillance video from a building on East Passyunk.
There you go.
Passyunk.
Yeah, you got it. Very good.
Avenue captures what appears to be two women taking down a yarn bomb installation. I don't even know what that is. At the neighborhood landmark Singing Fountain. It happened around 2:30 a.m. on Saturday. The alleged vandals spent almost half an hour with bags and appearing to leisurely move around the fountain, removing the artwork. Two men already sitting there when the suspects arrived eventually left.
Can we leave yarn bomb or whatever the hell that is alone? And how do you do that for 30 minutes before any sort of interception of the scumbags?
Yeah, I don't know.
A little delayed there. Where's security at?
Why are you messing with art? Stop making communities.
Were these climate activists? Because they like to destroy art in the name of climate change. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, with soup.
They throw soup on a painting. Yeah. It's usually the French, right?
Yes.
Or the British.
French are big into vandalizing with food.
French. Hideous. Hideous.
I don't like French food. Is that controversial
I don't like French people.
Oh, okay. That's more controversial to say, actually.
Horrendous.
So there you go.
Surrender monkeys.
Greg sent this to us. Miscommunication between Phillies outfielders leads to an embarrassing gaffe. The video is pretty bad. I can probably play baseball better than that. The Philadelphia Phillies are experimenting with a new look outfield for Tuesday's game against the Atlanta Braves, and early on they've had some mixed results.
Mm-hmm.
Edmundo Sosa, who has manned various infield positions throughout his MLB career but only played 5 games in the outfield, started in the left field on Tuesday with Johan Rojas handling center field duties. During the second inning, Austin Riley popped up a deep fly ball in between Sosa and Rojas, both of whom began tracking the ball. in left center field. Yeah. When it came to time to make the catch, however, the two outfielders both stopped moving.
And I got it.
Me?
Nope.
You?
You?
Oh,
me?
Nobody.
You? No. Who? Yeah.
Like Greg and I in a slow pitch softball game in June on Tuesday night with a couple of natty lights.
What are we doing?
It was bad. It was really bad.
Who's got this?
I saw this. I thought it should have been Sosa from left field. But you know what this problem stems from? This stems from because Sosa's been playing shortstop and in the infield when Trey Turner's been out, and he's had a hot bat, so they got to keep him in the lineup. So they put him in left field, and now we have a disaster.
Johan Rojas is actually taking the blame for it, though.
I know. Oh, is he really?
Yeah, the guy farther away from the ball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because technically, I think it was his ball to catch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Center field kind of has jurisdiction
and
for first dibs.
I think Sosa was the one saying you, or one of them was saying you,
mm-hmm.
and he thought he was saying I got it, or me, whatever. I don't
know.
Right. And there was miscommunication.
Yeah.
That's like Bush League baseball.
It really is.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Yeah. They bizarrely watched the ball hit the ground right in front of Rojas.
Yeah.
The ball bounced directly in front of Rojas' feet, who proceeded to fire it into the infield. And I feel like the person that was supposed to catch that ball also failed.
Yeah.
So it was just losers all around.
Yep. Schwarber had a great game again. Could be an MVP this year, and they lose because we can't figure out how to call off outfielders like 9-year-olds.
Well, that is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Anna, thank you very much. Sure. Coming up next, we will get to what's today? A Wednesday big take?
Wednesday.
A midweek big take. All of the happenings from yesterday. Thought it was a relatively good day for the Trump administration. A lot of big topics. We'll discuss it and highlight it in the big take next here on Kale & Company.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back. And I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. A 5D Tuesday for the Trump administration. If it feels like President Donald Trump and his staff are moving at warp speed, it's because they are. And if it feels like the mainstream media is scrambling, rushing from one fear porn talking point to the next, because they are. If you think Donald Trump is only playing to his base, you'd be wrong. And the data proves it. Trump isn't trying to burn it all down and leave it in rubble and ruins. He's beginning a remodeling project, if you will, that will take time, but is necessary to resurrect old glory. Here is CNN polling guru Harry Enten with the facts. Listen and watch.
I think there was this concern among some folks that Donald Trump would come in for a second term and kind of be a lame duck. He ain't no lame duck. If anything, he's a soaring eagle. What am I talking about here? Let's talk about Trump executive orders in 2025. He's already signed 111 so far. That is the most at this point in a presidency in at least 100 years. In fact, it's the most in any single year, and we're only in April, since Harry S. Truman in the early 1950s. The bottom line is whether you like Trump or you don't like him, you can't say that he's coming and not try to deliver on what he at least believes was his promises on the campaign trail, and he's doing so in historic fashion.
Trump literally hit the ground running on day one, and nobody should be shocked by any of this. He was obsessed with returning. He wanted to undo the Biden era, and guess what? It's not only drastically different, it's also recognized by everybody, Republicans, Democrats, and independents. Here's more of Harry Enten from CNN. Listen and watch.
People reacting to and feel about Trump's approach.
Yeah, okay. So Trump's approach here, what are we talking about? Trump's approach to presidential power. I think the American people recognize what he's doing here is completely different. We're talking, get this, 86% of the American public believes that Trump's approach to presidential power is completely different from past presidents, compared to only 14% who believe it is in line with precedent. And we're talking about at least 79% of Democrats, independents, and Republicans. So again, you can agree or you can disagree with Donald Trump, But what you can't disagree with is that he's doing things very differently. I have used the Frank Sinatra quote before. He is doing it, quote unquote, my way. And that is what Donald Trump has done throughout both of his presidential terms. And he's certainly doing that, Kate Baldwin, in term number two.
So we've explained the generational approach that 47 is taking compared not only to his time as 45, but also compared to his modern day predecessors. But is this embraced by the majority? That is the million-dollar question. Or does the vocal minority have legitimacy and merit? Harry Enten wraps it up. Listen and watch.
Completely differently. Clearly they agree, but is it, take it a step further, do the people think he has too much, he's taken too much power?
Yeah, this I think is the real question, right? You can believe that he's doing stuff completely differently, but do you think that he has a little too much power or not? And this is interesting. So Trump's presidential power is too much, the right amount, too little. Well, 47% say too much, but then you get 36% who say the right amount. Then you get 17% who say too little. So you're essentially dealing with a majority of the American public, 53%, who do not say that Trump has too much power. They either says he has too little power or the right amount of power. So the idea, that argument that Donald Trump is, quote unquote, a king, that I don't think holds with the American people. It does hold maybe with 47%, but with the majority of folks, they believe Donald Trump's doing something completely differently, and they don't believe he has too much power, and the executive orders he signed certainly suggest he's no lame duck. He is, as I said at the beginning, a soaring eagle.
He's fighting for his voters, he's fighting for America, and he's fighting against foreign nations, and he's also testing his limits and the Constitution. Why? Because it had to happen. This is one of the five D's. It's called dominance. Now let's get to the second D, and that would be discoveries. The WizKids over at Doge with a startling finding. Did you know that over the last 4 years, non-citizens were given social security numbers in escalating fashion year over year? 270,000 in 2021, Biden's first year. 590,000 handed out in 2022. 964,000 in 2023, and 2.1 million in 2024, an election year. Got news for you. This was another attempt to swing an election in favor of the Democrats, and some of them reportedly even voted. Here is Stuart Varney with the Doge discoveries on Fox News. Listen and watch.
Fox to reveal what's really going on. Doge exposed our immigration asylum disaster. That was the tip of the iceberg. Now, here's the story. Doge has found that immigration gave a work authorization document to illegals just 5 months after they filed for asylum. That document allowed them to work while they waited to hear whether their asylum request had been accepted or denied. So they could work as an illegal, knowing it would take years before their case was heard. The Immigration Department mailed them a Social Security number. No interview, no proof of identity. Just put it in the mail. Here's your number. In 2021, Doge says 270,000 new aliens were issued Social Security numbers. 590,000 in 2022, 964,000 in 2023, and 2.1 million in 2024, right before Biden left office. Doge also discovered that 1.3 million aliens are now receiving Medicaid. Millions received driver's licenses. Some registered to vote, and Doge says some actually did vote.
You want to discuss election integrity? Let's start right there. That's criminal. Do the math. That's almost 4 million people who, in theory, could vote. That's a game changer in battleground states. So what does Trump do? He fines them. That's right. Make them pay. Headline from CBS News, Trump administration unveils plan costing migrants massive fines for every day that they do not self-deport. Illegals could be hit with $998 fines each day that they don't leave. Next up, the third D, decisions. SCOTUS ruling in favor of Trump and Doge, headline from ABC yesterday. The Supreme Court said the Trump administration can actually move forward with the termination of 16,000 probationary federal workers across six agencies and departments, rescinding a lower court order that they be reinstated. According to the reports, Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Biden appointee, indicated that they would have denied Trump's request. So that gives Trump a 7-2 favorable ruling. Two more on the decision front. The Trump administration now will be imposing a 104% tariff against China, as the playing field is not only leveled, but reportedly will be flipped. I think Trump is tired of America being bullied by Xi Jinping and the CCP. We'll see if negotiations begin. China, I think, the ultimate test here. Time will tell. And lastly, from the category of justice for common sense, Breitbart reporting this yesterday, Terry Adarim, a senior Central Intelligence Agency official and former senior defense official who played a pivotal and potentially illegal role in the Biden administration's military vaccine mandate, recently fired from the agency, a source exclusively revealing to Breitbart News. And I'm sure the My Body, My Choice crowd agrees with this termination, right? It was patently absurd that anyone was ever forced to take an unproven injection to keep employment, gain employment, play a sport, serve your country, or any other endeavor in society. And as I've stated for a long time, immediate reemployment opportunities, back pay, and the apology from these people. To the fourth D we go. Disturbing. Details coming down yesterday on the second Trump assassination report. According to reports, Ryan Wesley Ruth sought to purchase an RPG. That would be a rocket-propelled grenade to blow up and shoot Donald Trump's plane, according to the Washington Times. Prosecutors allege in new court documents that he tried to purchase these items from Ukraine. Why would our government not be tipped off to this? Why Ukraine? Was this a Fed pretending to be Ukraine? I think inquiring minds would like to know. And lastly, we conclude with dissension. We know that Elon Musk and his time, it's limited, roughly 130 days and out. Doge set to expire in the summer of 2026. And as I've told you before, Elon Musk is a disruptor. Not sure if it's good or bad, but with money, power, and ego comes disruptions. I'm not saying it's bad, possibly overblown by the media. I'm all for debate, discussion, dialogue, and challenging conventional norms and wisdom. But we've seen a pattern here now with Elon Musk, from Vivek to Trump, and now Peter Navarro over, this time, tariffs. Here was Caroline Levitt yesterday in spin control mode. Listen and watch.
There's been some public sparring between Elon Musk and the president's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, on some of these tariffs. Musk actually referred to Navarro today as being, quote, dumber than a sack of bricks. Are you at all, or is the administration, the president, all concerned that this is maybe impacting the public's understanding of these tariffs? It might be messing with the message on it?
No, look, these are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. Boys will be boys, and we will let their public sparring continue. And you guys should all be very grateful that we have the most transparent administration in history. And I think it also speaks to the president's willingness to hear from all sides, that he has people at the highest level of this government in this White House who have very diverse opinions on very diverse issues, but the president takes all opinions in mind, and then he makes the best decision based on the best interests of the American public. Tiana.
There she is in spin control mode, Caroline Levitt. So if you think about it, when you look at Peter Navarro, he's an economist, but he's considered to be a fringe economist because he challenges mainstream views on economics, which I like, but he also has a little bit of baggage. But he's been successful. Up against Elon Musk and his view on running government like a business. Basically, Navarro is all in on hardcore tariffs. Elon Musk hates the idea of tariffs. Trump's trying to get to the point where we don't have tariffs. But in order to get free trade, you have to play hardball. I'd probably side with Elon on this one, since he's risked so much more on so many levels. But if this is the administration's biggest concern, then I would say that's a pretty good day for 47, as his warp speed record-pacing first 100 days rolls on. And that is the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. And you can call 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on the show. You can hit us up on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat. Anna Hummel, floor
yes.
is yours. Anything that you would like to comment on? Anything you would like to challenge me on? Anything you'd like to expound upon?
I would love to know how many migrants are self-deporting themselves.
That's a good number. That's a good question.
I love the idea of finding them. What was it, like, close to $1,000 a day?
$998.
Yes, yes. And I feel like this is, it gets kind of personal with me. I remember the day that I became a libertarian, maybe not on paper, but at least in theory.
Okay.
I was introduced to Ron Paul. This was in college. I was probably like 20. And he goes, you know, the problem with illegal immigration, I mean, there's many, but it's just such a slap in the face to everyone that came here legally.
Sure.
And that is my family. Like many Americans, you know, I was not born in this country. My father was not born in this country. My aunt had to wait 12 years for a green card from South Africa. And she would have been better off just flying to Mexico and just crawling across the border, mm-hmm. given, you know, handouts and all that sort of thing. So, that's personal to me. And it is just, it's so disrespectful and rude to every single person that waited in line and did it the correct way.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a good point. If you guys want to jump in, one other thing on the tariffs, which I think is interesting, and it's been really the main theme here for the Trump administration and the opposition with the mainstream media as well, is you have these guys that are taking snipes and shots at each other. I don't even know that I can say the word on radio, so I'll just defer to not saying it. But Elon Musk, I believe, even publicly, I don't know if he said it on X, but we have a history of Elon Musk using the R word about people that he doesn't think, you know, are up to his level intellectually. Mm. You know the R word that I'm talking about. And he altered Navarro's last name from Navarro to putting an R on it and ending it with A-R-D-O. I mean, Elon Musk is like, I don't know if it's just he doesn't care, if it's the fact that he's, you know, he's kind of on the spectrum. He's just a weird dude. He likes to throw around the R word and give like insults out like he's a 9-year-old, which for the sake of entertaining talk radio, I think he provides me content. But like you have Musk who's taken this stance where he's really against the tariffs and he just wants free trade. Yet we're not going to get to the point where it's zero for zero in free trade unless Trump plays hardball. And the biggest question is, like, we're seeing nations. Israel dropped tariffs.
Yeah.
Japan's willing to talk. India, Vietnam, Taiwan. China's, like, the big litmus test, right? Like, that's where
they matter
like,
the most.
They matter the most military-wise, trade-wise. You know, we, over the course of, I saw this tweet yesterday. I want to read this. This is from I forget what the source was, but it was recirculated. There's a graphic with who credits it or who's credited for the numbers. But in 1990, this just goes to show you the difference between America versus China over the last 35 years. The top exporter to 175 countries was the United States. China in 1990, they only exported to 8 countries. Then in 2000, the gap shrunk. America, top exporter, 155 countries. China, up to 15. Fast forward to 2010, it's almost a coin flip. America, 85 countries. China, 55. Now you get to 2024, we're only exporting to 35 countries. China is exporting to 125 countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
China basically controls so many industries of labor with exports to the point where we're like a little, for lack of a better phrase, we're like a little slapdick nation when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
And we have to get back to, because we're not a small little peon third world country. But when it comes to producing things, we have just given everything away to either third world countries or big bad China. And you're never going to get back to being a true power player and getting your economy where it needs to be, manufacturing, other industries. Forget technology. We had that story a day or two ago. We actually had it on the show sheet. We never got to it, about Apple and the creation of the iPhone and what they're doing now to avoid the potential possibility with tariffs of new iPhone customers having to pay, get this, a whopping $2,000. I got news for you. I'm due for a new iPhone. I got like the 14 here.
Yeah.
What are we on, the 16 now?
I think.
We're all iPhone people except for Phil. He's a communist. Yeah. He's on Android. You're messing up our group chat with his green box and his slow, gifts that he sends and his videos that never come through right away. Yeah. I'm not spending $2,000 on a new iPhone.
Right.
I mean, I know we depend on this damn thing for everything, but $2,000?
Yeah. It's crazy because the sky is really the limit when you have no respect for human life. You know what I mean? Like when people have no rights and you can get away with slave labor, mm-hmm. like you're unstoppable.
Right.
I am very impressed. I'm just going to say I'm very impressed with what China has been able to do in the last 30 to 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because
if you look at neutrally.
They were just like an agricultural, agrarian nation, you know, not even on the map. in the 70s, mm-hmm. and now they are, at least what I saw reports, maybe it was like a year or two ago, that they were expected to pass American GDP, yeah. I think, this year.
They have a, and I know that they do have a genocide going on there, so I don't mean this legitimately, but they have a killer instinct for global dominance yeah. that I want America to get back to, that I think Trump wants to get back to. And this had to happen eventually. It's not going to happen overnight, and it might not be pleasant. So,
yeah,
well, there you go.
Well, that's the thing. How do you compete with a nation that pays their workers three cents an hour?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You can't.
Yes,
you can't.
Yeah, because it's we get cheap crap from Temu because that you know they pay their workers slave wages.
Yeah, yeah
so. You know, unless we do that, I don't know how we're ever going to compete with that.
That's a great point. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. Coming up next, free speech and the government trying to censor you in the state of Michigan.
It's my favorite story of the day.
We're going to get to this when we come back. So I'll quit babbling and get right to Bucks County Estate Traders because they don't make furniture like they used to. If you're tired of that cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about my friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. They're going to be furnishing my new house very shortly. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickley Baker and Henrodon, the kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time, and you can save thousands compared to the new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. Whether you're furnishing your living or dining room, home office, or even that man cave, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece comes with a QR code. You just scan that with your phone, which displays details instantly. And their expert staff is the best in the business. No pushy salespeople, just straight shooters. Check out their website, call ahead. They'll have the pieces ready the same day to show you. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by the showroom in Hatfield and tell them, I want to furnish my house just like Nick Kale.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Daddy, can you put the window up? It's cold out. And then it's like, you know, 39 degrees, 40 degrees. I'm like, well, outside without a jacket on. I'm hot. I'm burning up. Like, what's up with the, I got to ask you this, Anna. What's up with, like, the internal temperature and the thermostat for broads? It's always, like, the inverse.
Not for me.
Really?
I'm just always cold.
Okay.
And I have Raynaud's, self-diagnosed. I don't know if you know what that is.
I had a little stretch of it in 2017 on my toes.
My wife has it. Yeah.
It's common, I think, with women, in my family, like, everyone has it, where your hand, your fingers or your toes just go white.
Yes.
No, but really bad circulation in your extremities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just always cold.
Okay.
Like a typical broad.
My wife is
typical broad.
Yeah. My wife sometimes has to stick her feet underneath, like, a hot bath, like, you know, like the
The warm water
return them to the normal color.
Yeah. Does she do what I do and just like what you know when you're in bed with her, she just like puts her cold feet on you to warm.
Yeah,
and then Greg says,
"Holy crap!
Please stop doing that.
That's exactly.
Can you
what
please
happens.
Put on socks and not do that?
Yeah. You remember what time I have to get up in the morning, right?
Yeah. I just want consistency with my women. That's all. If you're cold, if you're always hot, that's great. But my daughters, my wife, it's bizarre. Anywho, Michigan. How about this for free speech? I like this story as well. Michigan City threatens its residents with a defamation suit over statements that have, quote, caused harm, says the Midwesterner. This was reported by MLive.com. So the city of Bangor, Michigan, or maybe it's Bangor.
It's Bangor.
It's Bangor, like Bangor, Maine, right? But Greg grew up in Bangor, Pennsylvania, right? I believe, Stocker, you're from Bangor.
I'm not from Bangor, but no.
Oh, I thought you were. Were you a Windgapper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It really is.
They're sending a message to their residents, quote, you better keep your mouth shut or face a defamation lawsuit. In a 7-0 vote by the Bangor City Council in January, council members approved a motion to allow the city attorney, Scott Graham, to file charges with the court against all parties involved in statements that have, quote, caused harm to the city, MLive reports. Now, here's basically what's going on here. This was prompted by comments from concerned residents about the city manager, Justin Weber, also serving as a police chief and also with other government transparency issues. And officials are now facing fierce backlash in the city and beyond. So this individual that goes by the name of A.C. Fisher Aldag, I don't know if that's a company or that's a name, whoever that is, they run a Facebook page called the Bangor Apple Press, which is focused on local news. And it told MLive that the motion gives the impression that any critical comments could spark an expensive lawsuit, alleging that it illustrates how the city continues to, quote, trample the citizens' civil rights, including their rights to free speech and freedom of the press. Quote, such action would violate the First Amendment, which completely bars government entities like the city of Bangor from suing for defamation. If Bangor officials believe a constituent has made a false statement about the city, they can publicly condemn the statement, express disagreement, or say why they believe it's inaccurate, says a letter from FIRE, which is a free speech organization based right here in Philadelphia. You can read the full story at themidwesterner.news if you would like. But this is one of the things, Anna and Greg, that I am very passionate about. It's not just a slogan on the Kale and Company shirts or the branding for the station, Free Speech Lives Here. One of the things that got me into this format was the cancel culture, the censorship that we've been living through for the last 5 years, and even beyond that. And to me, when you infringe upon people, forget policy for a moment, forget what your thoughts are on immigration or law and order and crime. When we're talking about things as basic as the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, the right to bear arms. When the government oversteps their bounds, and I'm not talking about coming in and taking a deer from a trailer park, okay? I'm talking about basic stuff like this. This really irritates me. I want to be able to challenge those in authority. I want to challenge those that I'm paying their salaries for.
Right.
Right. And when they step above and beyond, I am so on board. I don't know if this is like citizen journalism. I mean, we have a lot of rogue journalists in this city that do great jobs that don't work for, you know, mainstream media. But I would think if, especially if you're of a libertarian belief where it's, hey, government hands off. These are the kind of things that have to stick in your craw.
Yeah, I wonder if this is a similar situation. I think this happened last year. So I lived in Michigan for 4 years. I lived in Detroit.
Okay.
And there's
so do you know this area? Do you know this Bangor, Michigan area?
No, but okay. Maybe I should.
Okay.
I didn't venture out too much, but there was a suburb of Detroit called Hamtramck. I think that's correct. And it was a largely Muslim community.
Okay.
And so people in the community, especially a lot of white people, thought, hey, listen, we have a lot of Muslims in this area. Let's elect all of them to the city council and stuff like that. And when that happened, it was an exclusively Muslim city council. They banned the trans flag, gay flag from being flown anywhere, and they were vandalizing homes that had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it was kind of a similar situation where the people that are elected in charge are now saying, hey, you can't say anything bad about us, and we're taking away all your freedoms.
I mean, what kind of snowflake do you have to be as a politician? I don't care if you're the president of the United States or if you're the city manager of Bangor, Michigan, which I'm assuming might not even, I'm just going to guess, that might be like a part-time elected position. Some of these like very small jurisdictions and municipalities, they don't even pay you enough for it to be your full-time job. You meet like once a week at
right.
night in like a little conference room with coffee and donuts and discuss the jurisdiction issues of the day or the week. But for me, like I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of, I mean, you should be able to absolutely challenge anything under the sun. Well, and even in the misinformation, disinformation era.
Well, what causes, like, so they say, to allow City Attorney Graham to file charges with a court against all parties involved in statements that have caused harm to the city.
Right. What's so harmful?
So if you're on Facebook or Twitter and you say, this city's a hellhole, is yeah. that, like, does that then deem charges being brought, like a defamation charges being brought up against you?
Well, does some lawyer that works for the government sit there and say, these are defamatory comments that could impact tourism dollars, right? Like, you could always bring it back to money, bring it back to lawyers all the time. I don't really see how you can have a case unless you're making terroristic threats against government employees,
right.
unless you're eliciting hate speech that rises to the level of action being taken. For the most part, hate speech is protected speech until it reaches the point of a real credible threat of bodily harm to somebody else. But I just feel like we're living in a world where people are trying to create gray area of free speech, and I thought it was relatively understood.
I feel like with FIRE getting involved in this, they're a great organization.
They are.
I don't think that this is going to stay. You know what I mean? Like, I think that L'Oreal's will get involved, and then, you know, because there's no way to really enforce this. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you enforce it?
Right. And then they're asking for the salary.
Do you have people scrub people's social medias? Like, honestly.
Would it be a civil infraction, or would it be people to jail?
No, defamation would be civil.
Yeah.
But you mentioned jail. I have seen, now I want to preface this, I don't know if they are new or if they're old, if they're accurate or they're not, it's social media, who knows, but there's been videos over in the UK, and I'm sure we could look up like credible sources that have reported on this, where UK law enforcement, for lack of a better phrase, are knocking on people's doors and telling people that they have to take things down that they posted on social media.
No, they've been arrested. There's been thousands of people that have been arrested.
I just didn't know.
Lyrics with explicit language.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, the hell's going
on here? They don't have a First Amendment over there.
Anna brought up a very interesting point. I would like to see the makeup of this town, city, whatever it is, because it does sound very UK-ish.
It does.
Yeah. For those,
city manager plus the police chief.
if you're from Michigan, you probably know what I'm doing right now, but Bangor is right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is if you're from Michigan and you want to show someone like where you live, you just do the mitt and you just do the hand and you point.
We know Dearborn has a very high Muslim population. I'm wondering if this area does as well.
That's what I was wondering as well. Great hummus, by the way.
Great hummus.
But it's crazy because when you go to Dearborn, all the directions and signs are written in Arabic before English.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like extra garlic in my hummus.
Yeah,
the more
garlic,
the better.
Oh, my God.
855-839-1210.
We should definitely keep our eye on this story because there's definitely more to it.
There is. We'll continue hour two on the way. Anna has some news to kick off the second hour. And then China mocking America with racist and fatophobic humor via artificial intelligence under the mantra of manufacturing and tariffs. Hour two next. Stay there.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.